Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. I can't believe it's been a year, but can I say it's been a great year? I sure appreciate your prayers for Cody. Cody's doing better, and we're thankful for that. He hasn't had pneumonia in probably about 2.5 months now, so that's a blessing, and the doctor is increasing the amount of ice cream that he can have. So that's always a blessing. Well, probably many of you are wondering, why are you preaching tonight, Brother Earl? Well, I'm wondering the same thing. Pastor came to me this morning. He says, listen, I'm not feeling really well, and I want you to be ready tonight just in case. And then I heard one of my old preachers many years ago tell me this, Brother Earl, be instant in season, out of season. And I thought, wow, okay, here's one of those in-season, out-of-season moments. So he told me right before the service, he said, listen, I may have to get up and leave during the service. So if you see Pastor get up and leave, please don't go with him. Okay? It will be all right. I didn't say something that he disagreed with, okay? But pray for but pray for Pastor and that he'll get well and start feeling better. But it's great to be here tonight. Let's all smile, okay? It sure makes me feel a lot better, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1 in your Bibles. I'm going to start reading in verse number 14 and verse number 8 and read down to verse number 14. Now, if you have a pen, I want you to underline some things as we look through this passage of Scripture tonight. I've preached this message many times before, but I don't ever want to forget it. You know, it's not the things that we don't know that hurt us, that makes us stumble. It's the things we do know that we forget. And I want these things that we look at tonight to be some things that we're always constantly reminding ourselves of. And that's the title of my message tonight, These Things. So let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's begin in verse number 8. As we go through this passage of Scripture, I want you to take your pens and underline some certain passages, okay? And let's look at these, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. For if these things, if you'll underline those words, be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh, and notice the phrase, these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do, these things ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, and let's look at verse number 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Father, I need your help tonight. I just want to be a blessing and a help. Lord, this passage of Scriptures you've shown me many years ago is something that, Lord, I always want to have in my life. And I pray that I could, as well as possible, eloquently speak the word of truth tonight, your word, God's word. And Lord, help me be the messenger tonight to be a blessing and a help to these people and just remind them of some things that we need to do in our Christian lives. Lord, anoint me tonight. Use these lips of clay. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and glory for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. There's probably none of us here tonight that wants to be a failure. I know none of us ever wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I want to fail today. We probably all wake up in the morning and say, you know, I had some things I want to do and some things I want to achieve and things I want to get done. And we often wake up with the idea of, hey, I'm going to do these things. And none of us, and I hope none of us, and if you do have this attitude, please come see me after the service tonight so we can have an attitude check, okay? But we want to always succeed, and none of us have the ideal failure. In fact, it's pretty a stupid question to ask ourselves if we would like to be known as a failure in our Christian life. The truth is, every one of us wants to be a successful Christian, and I really truly believe that all of us want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, either way you want it, after all, we read of men in the Bible who failed in their Christian life. We think of Demas. The Bible says in the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verse 24, Paul says that Demas was my fellow laborer. Over in Colossians chapter 4, he is making a greeting to Demas. But yet in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read where the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The progression, the failure of Demas. And there are others in the Bible as well. We talk about Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that says, having faith and good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Even today, all around us, we know of people that we know have failed in their Christian life. Many of us have probably failed some way or somehow in our Christian life. But you know as well as I do, there are many of us that are not sitting in here tonight because they failed in their Christian life and they just don't think that they can do it. You know, living the Christian life is not as difficult as many of us make it seem. The Bible says that it's a reasonable service. It's not difficult. We make it difficult, but it really isn't difficult. And it's our reasonable service. But people fall way too often. Now, if I had my way about it, I don't want that to be said of me. Paul said that he did not want to make himself a shipwreck. And we ought to have that same idea. My desire, and I hope it's your desire as well, is to be the best that we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not guessing, that is what you want as well. So here in this passage of Scripture, Peter gives us the secret to godly living. Again, it's not difficult. It's really rather easy. And we're going to look at some steps tonight, if taken, will ensure our success as a Christian. Now, did you notice in this passage of Scripture that we read in verse number 8, in verse number 9, verse number 10, verse number 12, and verse number 15, five times it mentions the phrase, these things. Now you're probably wondering, Brother Earl, what are these things? Well, before I give you the answer to that question, let's see the spoils of this before I give you the steps. Let's look at the reminder before we see the reward. Can we do that? In verse number 8, we have a list of these things, whatever they are, will produce in your life. In verse number 8, it says this, that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is some things that we can have guaranteed? This is kind of a God's money-back guarantee, and he is guaranteed that he will give it to you. What are they? Well, first of all, he guarantees fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. If these things are found in life, then you're not going to be barren in your spiritual life. You will always be fruitful. You'll always be a fruitful branch for God's glory. Now, this applies to be a witness. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. In John chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the vine and my Father is my husband. And every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So whatever these things are, they must be a pretty great thing because they promise us that we'll never be barren. Luke 6 tells us, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. So this passage of Scripture is saying in verse number 8 that if these things are in you, then you're fruitful in your Christian life. And there isn't no one in here tonight that doesn't want to be fruitful in your Christian life. All of us want to be fruitful. All of us want that. We all want to have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. We all want those things. And those are fruits of fruitfulness. But not only a guarantee of fruitfulness, but secondly we see a guarantee of spiritual discernment. Let's look at verse number 9. But if he lacketh these things, but he that lacketh these things is, what's the word? Blind. You know, there are some people that absolutely have no spiritual discernment. And you think of people, you think, how in the world did they make that decision? I mean, where did they come up with that from? But that's exactly what it is. They are blind and they're easily led astray. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I have a lot of friends that out there, they've gotten a hold of something out there that is not biblical, and they ran after that, and they've been deceived. They don't have any spiritual discernment. But this passage of Scripture says that the Lord will give you, He guarantees spiritual discernment to make right decisions. That's a blessing. So to have fruitfulness and to have spiritual discernment. But there's another one. Look in the last part of verse number 9. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sin, his own sins. Now notice another guarantee. The absolute assurance of salvation. Isn't that great? How many times do we absolutely forget about that we're saved by grace? You know, we didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. It was a gift that God gave to us. And by the way, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He wants to give you that gift, and that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's absolute guarantee. There's people everywhere that, well, do you know you're saved? Well, I really don't know. I really don't know. But if you have these things, then you're not going to have to worry about your salvation. It's sure, you know it, because you're walking in the Spirit. And then there's another guarantee. Not only fruitfulness and spiritual discernment and assurance of salvation, but look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, that's not talking about tripping over your wife's or husband's foot or something. That's talking about spiritually fall. All right? And this verse implies that these things is practiced on, they will keep us from falling in our Christian life. How many of us have ever fallen as Christians? We all have. All of us, every one of us has, from time to time. But these things promise what I promise, a fall-free life. Whatever these things are, then I want to make sure I get them. Whatever these things are that helps me to guarantee that I'm fruitful and that I have spiritual discernment and I don't doubt my salvation, whether I'm saved or not, whether I'm going to heaven. And they guarantee me never to fall as a Christian, then I want these things. You say, Brother Earl, what are these things? Well, let's look at the steps. We looked at the spoils, let's look at the steps. Look back in verse number five. And beside this, in fact, let's go back up. This is such a great passage of Scripture. I want to give you some good stuff. Look back in verse number one. Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge or the acknowledgement, is what he's saying, him, of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, now, we get to verse number 5. Take a look at this. And beside this, beside all this thing that Peter's talking about here in verse number 1 through 5, he says, giving all diligence. Now, when he says they're giving all diligence, he says, hey, pay attention to this. This is something that's important that you need to make sure that you grab hold of, because it is the difference of life and death to a spiritual person. All right? It's very important. Give diligence to it. Pay attention to it. I mean, don't just let it slide over. You pay good attention to this, because this is important. He says this. Add to your faith virtue. Now, let me stop here. What is faith? Well, faith is your salvation. Faith is whenever you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All right? If you profess the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you're saved, you have faith in the Lord, and you're on your way to heaven. Amen? But that's not all. How many people do we know that get saved, and then that's it? They don't do anything else. And there are a lot of baby Christians sitting in pews today because they've stopped with just the faith. That's it. And it says to add to your faith virtue. Now, let's go through these. Let's look at these 7 spiritual steps to growth. And this is not going to be long, I promise you. Okay? But let's look at these 7 spiritual steps and find out what these 7 great, wonderful, big things are. All right? And I hope that you realize that these are big things. These are things that we really need to add to our faith. And I'll come back and talk about that word add in just a few minutes. But first of all, it says this, virtue. What is that? It means moral uprightness or holiness. This word literally means excellent living. How do you get virtue? How do you develop it? Well, it's really not as difficult as what we may think. When we spend time in God's Word and we believe what God is telling us, God is telling us and telling me and telling you that if we'll live by the Bible and live morally pure lives, and He's going to guarantee all of these other spoils to us, that's what He's talking about. It's virtue. I mean, how do I do that? Well, by spending time in God's Word develops virtue. Spending time in prayer develops virtue. Spending time witnessing develops virtue. Spending time listening to the right type of music develops virtue. Spending time listening to good preaching will develop virtue. Let me tell you something, watching whatever you watch on the evening TV shows is not going to develop much virtue, because there isn't any virtue in it. But that's some things that we can do to literally have that moral purity that ought to be in every aspect of our lives. Physical, mental, spiritual, all this purity is maintained if we expect His blessings on our life. Doesn't the Bible tell us that in 1 Peter 1, but be ye holy as I am holy. He also, in that same passage, because as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, what does that word conversation mean? It means all manner of lifestyle. We do believe in lifestyle Christianity. That we live according to how Jesus would want us to live, and obeying Him and His principles and His promises and His precepts. And that's what he wants. Virtue. But not only to virtue, virtue what? Knowledge. Literally, what is this? An understanding of the truth of how to live it out. This word is telling us that we can have all those things we discover by having a sound knowledge of the doctrines of Christianity and by applying them to our lives and living them out. How are we going to know these things if we don't study to show thyself approved unto God? There's two ways we do it. Number one, we got to get into the Word. I just quoted that verse of 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You know what? It takes work to study God's Word. It does. It just takes work to do it. But not only get into the Word, but let the Word get into us. I mean, let it get into us. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was with me, the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. As many of you know, our son is going through, in fact, our family, but Cody especially, is going through a lot right now. He's on a feeding tube. All he gets, other than his ice cream, which he enjoys, is a formula of milk. Since Cody has been on that since June will be a year, he's lost about 20 pounds. Now, you look at Cody even before he got sick. He wasn't a whole lot back then. But he's lost about 20 pounds. All he's had pretty much for the last 9 months is milk. And you look at him and he's very skinny. You would look at him, you would think that he's malnourished. You know what? That's exactly how a lot of Christians are in their Christian walk. All they get is milk. They don't get any bread. They don't get any meat. You know, I've just said, Sunday morning, you're going to get a little bit of everything, but pastor is going to emphasize about salvation and getting people saved. And then on Sunday night, he wants to get in there and give us a little bit more bread and help us grow a little bit. Then on Wednesday night is when he gives us the meat. I mean, that's some good stuff to chew on and to help us make it through the week. How are you in your spiritual life? Where are you at? Are you into the Word are you letting the Word get into us? So you have, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge the next one is temperance. Oh boy, you know what that means, right? What is it? Yeah, self-control. Self-control. It implies that I do not do as I please. I control myself, get this, to do as the Lord pleases. To do as the Lord, I don't think you got that. Let me say it again. It implies that I do not do as I please. I control myself and do as the Lord pleases. Heard said many years ago in a quote, it's always right to do right, even when it's more fun to do wrong. It's true, isn't it? It's always right to do right, even when it's more fun to do wrong. Didn't the Apostle Paul say, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection? It's self-control. It's doing right. It's doing what's right. How do we do what's right? Well, we got to do, there's some things that we need to be self-controlled over. Number one, we got to be self-controlled of our tongues. It's very important. Why did God put a gate in front of our tongue called our lips? So that we could close our mouth sometime. Amen? Gossip and telling other people off doesn't help in our testimony. Even though they deserve it sometimes. All right? But our tongues, I like Proverbs 26:20. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. But not only our tongues, but also our tempers. Flying off the handle, getting mad, or even getting even. Some people lack the blessings of life because they can't control their temper. Can I say this? Fathers, we should never discipline our children when we're angry. Should never do it. And then also, we need to practice temperance in our temptations. All of us are tempted. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but which is common to man. However, not everyone falls into sin. We don't have to sin. You know that phrase, the devil made me do it? Nope, he didn't. He didn't make us do it. All right? And many people are experiencing a lack of those things simply because they have no self-control. So to add to your faith patience, and to patience, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, what's the next one? Patience. What is that? That's endurance. That's endurance. The patient person is not one who is shrewd from his devotion to God, even through the greatest of trials. Many are suffering from the loss of blessings just because they allowed the slightest little wind to blow them off course. Can't allow that to happen. A patient person is one who has endurance. Hey, can I tell you something? I think Pastor mentioned this morning. We're all going to go through hard times. We're all going to go through times where we're saying, Lord, what in the world are you trying to do? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to do? I don't understand these things. And let me tell you something. We all go through times where we're going, Lord, why? And that's when we have to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct my path. Had a pastor friend tell me this, if you're ever going to do anything for God, you better have patience. You better have it, because we're going to need it. So, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Let's look at the next one. Godliness. What does that mean? That literally means this. Walking in view of His greatness. Walking in view of God's greatness. Just being God conscious. Being God centered. Being God like. That's what godliness is, isn't it? It really means what it means. It means that I'm so consumed with God that He is in all of my thoughts. The person who practices godliness is one who understands that God truly is an awesome God. And we need to look at it from that aspect. He fears the Lord. He strives at every turn to please Him and Him alone. Ecclesiastes 12:13 is a great verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What a great verse. So we're almost through. We got two more. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge patience, and to temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. The next one is this, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. What is that? It means brotherly love. Just brotherly love. You know, I'm amazed at how many church members are just angry at other church members. I'm amazed at that. I'm so glad that doesn't happen here. Amen? Brotherly kindness. Hey, if you've got an odd against a brother, go get it right. Don't let it fester. Don't let it eat on you. Because, hey, you can keep the blessings of God upon this church because of your sin. Don't let it happen. I don't want that to happen. I know pastor doesn't want it to happen. But brotherly kindness, that's plain old brotherly love. Listen, if Christians would practice the second great commandment, and we know thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, they would experience some blessings in their life. Just plain old brotherly kindness. Treating people just like you would want to be treated. Brotherly kindness. And then the last one, let's look at it. Now, by the way, I have sermons on each one of these points. Aren't you glad I'm not doing them all tonight? But what is the last one? Maybe the biggie. And what is it? Charity. love. He's referring here to that self-sacrificing, never-ending, all-compassing love that Jesus exhibited when he came to earth to die for sin. It is the very same love that God desires to see us lived out in our lives every day. It is for the lack of this love that many do not have the peace and assurance really that they desire, or even the blessings that they desire. Let me ask you something. Are you disappointed at these things? I mean, the Bible says in Galatians, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we all know of the fruits of the Spirit and how we ought to have those. But let me tell you something. We need to have these things too. Some of you may have been hoping for something big. Oh, brother, well, I want these things. I mean, give me the easy way of doing it. In fact, they are so big they can't even be produced in the life of an unbeliever. These are only produced in the life of a saved person. Now, I want you to notice something I said a while ago. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. But I didn't put emphasis on two words before that I want to put an emphasis as we close. Add to. Add to. Did you see that? Look back in verse number 5. And besides giving all diligence, add to your faith. While I was studying this afternoon, I got hungry for brownies. So I looked up real quick a quick brownie recipe. It said half a cup of butter, 2 eggs, 1/3 cup of cocoa, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder. There were some other things too. But what if I would have not put all of those ingredients into making me some brownies? There would be a problem, wouldn't it? They wouldn't taste very good. What if we left out the vanilla extract? What if we left out the baking powder? What if we left out the cocoa? And we got to have cocoa we wouldn't have brownies without cocoa, amen? But what if we didn't have some of those? What if we left some of those things out? Then they wouldn't be very good brownies, would they? Many times in our Christian life, we leave out things and we don't become the Christian that God wants us to be because we don't add these things in. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Add to. This little word literally means to supply generously. I like that. To supply generously. It does not teach that we are to get faith, perfect that, and then add virtue, and then perfect that, and add knowledge, and to perfect that, and add patience, and so on, and so on, and so on. What it means is that these things are to be practiced as a whole, and every one of them is to be active all the time. Hey, we don't just get this and then say, oh, I'll work on this later. All right, hey, I've got this mastered, then I'll work on this. No. It's a consecutive thing that we continue working on over and over and over and over and over again. So listen, don't pat yourself on the back if you've done 3 out of 4. Or 1 out of 7. God wants us to have all of them operating in our lives all the time. Now, if we know these things are what they can do for us, if we really want to know what these things can do for us, the final question this evening is this. This is my question to you tonight. Are all of these present in your life tonight? Are all these things present in your life tonight? If you found yourself lacking in 1 or 2 or even all 7, then the place to deal with it tonight is right here at the altar. And we need to continuously remind ourselves that we need to continue to work on these things. and to add to these things as our life goes on. As for me, I want to be fruitful. Do you want to be fruitful tonight? I want to have spiritual discernment. Do you want spiritual discernment? I want to never have to doubt my salvation. Are you doubting your salvation tonight? And I never want to fall as a Christian. And I pray that you'd never want to fall either. Therefore, I'm going to seek the Lord for all of these things. My question to you tonight, are you seeking the Lord for these things?